Bitcoin is up 27% in 2 weeks in what have been some of the most eventful 2 weeks in modern history, not just on the macro front, but on the geopolitical front as well. And there's plenty more that's going to happen over the rest of the summer. And through all of it, Bitcoin has weathered the storm, it's weathered the volatility, and it's come out on top. With rate cuts on the way just next week, Bitcoin seeing $1 billion in ETF inflows last week, $500 million of that alone coming from BlackRock's vehicle just yesterday, and Ethereum ETFs now entering the race, what is Bitcoin poised to do over the next several weeks and beyond? All that and more in today's Bitcoin update. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Joe Consorti. So as I mentioned in the intro, Bitcoin is up 27% in just 2 weeks. Take a look at this chart right here. It's staggering. And what a 2 weeks it has been. Obviously, we had the attempted Trump assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania. We had Biden getting sick with COVID, then Biden stepping down, then Kamala Harris entering the race. And while we're not a political outlet, we are geopolitical in that we need to analyze the geopolitical landscape to figure out what's going on with the macro picture. And as you can see here, Bitcoin is up 27% in those same 2 weeks that all of this extreme uncertainty and historical volatility has happened. So amidst all of this, amidst all these global shakeups, Bitcoin has rallied back up to the top of the range that it spent most of the last 4 months inside of. This last 4 months, this 4 month range has kind of been a hangout spot for Bitcoin for summer consolidation. And here at the Bitcoin Layer, that's what we've outlined this summer is going to be. Toward the beginning of this summer, off of the huge rally that began in January, where Bitcoin eventually reached all new all-time highs in March, for a while there, it looked like we would continue rising and rising. But of course, in markets, in financial markets, the U.S. stock market in particular, most people are away. Most people are off desk on vacation. So it tends to be a low liquidity time. And essentially what that means is there's not a lot of money sloshing back and forth between traders, not a lot of people placing huge bets, driving the market hugely upward. Usually the trend that begins at the start of summer is the trend that remains intact for the summer. And that's essentially what we've seen. It's just been a choppy, relatively uneventful period where Bitcoin has ranged from $74,000 all the way down to $54,000 as of 2 weeks ago. And now we've jumped back up toward the top of that range. And so in looking toward what to think about for the rest of the year, let's try to factor in a little bit of the macro picture here. So what I have right here is a chart from Bitcoin Magazine Pro, and this is high yield credit overlaid with Bitcoin cycles. And so obviously, as well as being influenced by its own native factors that we talk about all the time, whether it's mining, on-chain activity, you guys know we're a Bitcoin and global macro research firm. Bitcoin is a Bitcoin is one asset in a universe of other assets that are impacted by macroeconomic factors, one of them being high-yield corporate bond prices and high-yield credit spreads, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But essentially, high-yield credit can be a reflection of investor sentiment toward the global economy, right? If high-yield credit is priced very high, there is a lot of, you know, there is a lot of interest in taking on riskier investments. When investors are optimistic about the economy and the direction of stocks, they're more willing to take on risk and invest in bonds that are riskier for more risky companies, for those high-yield companies, right? And conversely, when investors are pessimistic about the economy, they're less willing to take on risk and demand for high-yield bonds falls. And you'll note that high-yield bond prices are actually marginally on the rise. We'll talk about yields in a moment, but corporate bond prices are on the rise. And that means we haven't just been in a risk-on period, which we have been, but in corporate credit, with high-yield corporate bond prices on the rise, it indicates we're entering into even more of a risk-on period that we already were in. And so if you take a look at this chart here, the relationship between Bitcoin's price and high-yield corporate bond prices have been positive. And conversely, yields, its relationship to yields are negative, which we'll talk about later. But it, as you can see, as over the course of credit cycles and also Bitcoin's four-year halving cycles, which is the way this chart is split up, high-yield corporate bond prices are very tightly positively correlated with Bitcoin. When investor risk sentiment is on the rise, Bitcoin appreciates very well. And when it's on the decline, Bitcoin doesn't do very well. You'll note in the yellow and in the teal and in the red and in the purple, every single time that corporate bond prices rose, Bitcoin ripped and it really went on the bulk of what its bull market turned out to be. And judging by where high yield corporate credit prices are right now, that indicates to us that Bitcoin has yet to really kick off the bulk of its bull market. It's done well. It's risen from $15,000, $16,000, $17,000 in late 2023. But now And obviously, we've gone ahead and challenged new all-time highs, $74,000. But the fact that high-yield corporate bond prices are still so low for this cycle relative to where they have been, it indicates to us, at the very least, that the bulk of Bitcoin's bull run has yet to really begin. And we're getting a similar indication from ETF investors as well. So you can see here, the pace of ETF inflows are now back at the same level that they were when the ETFs initially launched. So obviously the ETFs launched here on January 6th in 2024, I believe January 6th or January 13th, I think actually. Either way, early January. And now you'll see up in the top pane, I've circled it. Those are the daily inflows broken up by vehicle. You see they're on the rise. They're on the rise once again. And so institutional interest in Bitcoin is catching a second wind. Obviously, there's retail mixed into this, but there's a great deal of institutions that are using the ETFs as vehicles to purchase Bitcoin. Obviously, they can't buy spot Bitcoin. They purchase it through one of these ETF vehicles and other retail investors, too, that have money locked up in brokerage accounts. But what we know is that both institutional and retail interest that's coming from the spot ETF market, the Wall Street side of things, is catching a second wind. And usually this kind of money moves out and ahead of what they anticipate to be a very big move. And so this is yet another indication that Bitcoin stands to continue doing well into the rest of the year. And again, perhaps the bulk of its bull market is still yet to come. BlackRock's iBit, which we'll actually talk about in a second, saw $527 million in net inflows on Monday alone. That's its sixth largest daily inflow ever. And of course, very small data set. It's only been 7 months since these ETFs launched. But it's clear that buying from spot ETF investors is accelerating, and it's accelerating back to a pace that we haven't seen since their launch back in Q1. So Wall Street is catching a second wind. We're seeing Bitcoin's relationship with corporate bond prices also very, very primed to take a run. We know corporate bond prices, again, they're very low relative to where they usually are within the cycle when we actually see a bull market top. They're not exhibiting bull market top behavior. We can infer chances are there's still more room to run, particularly with the Fed's first maintenance rate cut coming next week. The Bitcoin layer is proud to be sponsored by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with a collaborative multi-sig vault where you hold two of three keys and benefit from a Bitcoin security partner. Purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage vault and eliminate exchange risks with Unchained's trading desk. Unchained also offers the best IRA product in the industry, allowing you to easily roll over old 401ks or IRAs into Bitcoin while keeping control of your keys. Don't pay more taxes than you have to. Talk to them today. Visit unchained.com/TBL and use code TBL for $100 off when you create an account. So taking a look at this chart here, this is a chart of all US-based ETFs, and I have ranked them by the year-to-date inflows. And one thing that's extremely cool is that BlackRock's iBit product, that's spot ETF, and Fidelity's spot Bitcoin ETF are number 4 and number 8, respectively, in year-to-date flows. That means, relative to all of the other ETFs on the market, BlackRock and Fidelity are within the top 10 and climbing for year-to-date inflows. Remember, they're challenging vehicles that are several orders of magnitude their size, okay? Huge vehicles that are absolute mainstays in the market. The Vanguard S&P 500 ETF, iShares S&P 500 ETF. iShares Bitcoin Trust is number 4 behind Vanguard's and BlackRock's S&P 500 ETF and Vanguard's total stock market ETF. That's incredible, and that shows that there is immense institutional interest for Bitcoin, and it's just not letting up. And honest to goodness, it's slated to pass. It very well could pass Vanguard's total stock market ETF very soon. If you compare the net sizes of these ETFs versus net inflows, it's very clear that demand for Bitcoin via this ETF strategy, via these ETF vehicles, has been absolutely relentless and, dare I say, unprecedented. But that doesn't mean there isn't competition in the market. Obviously, Ethereum, right? We don't talk about crypto on this channel in a positive light. We only talk about it in the context of Bitcoin because we want our viewers to understand that Bitcoin and crypto are two wholly, completely separate things. We are a Bitcoin and macro research outlet, but we got to talk about the rest of the stuff in order to provide better context. So Ethereum spot ETFs actually launched today. They were approved for trading yesterday by the SEC. Final approvals went in, and they began trading this morning. And with roughly about an hour left to go at the time of recording, Here's where the day one volume stands on each of these vehicles. They've done about $885 million in volume, and it looks like they're about to break $1 billion in trading volume in their first day. According to James Seifert of Bloomberg, they're probably going to settle somewhere between 20 and 25% of the Bitcoin ETF's first day volumes. Now, this is notable because that's much lower than the relationship between Bitcoin and Ethereum's market cap. Ethereum is roughly half the size of Bitcoin, if a little bit less than half the size of Bitcoin. But these ETFs are only doing 20 to 25% worth of the volume that Bitcoin did on its first day. That means the institutional demand, normalizing for the difference in size between these two tokens, Ethereum is underperforming by about 50% where it should be. That indicates that interest in Bitcoin is much stronger on the ETF side of things than it is for Bitcoin. And that is very good added perspective, because you'll take a look at this and you'll see that, well, clearly there's a lot of demand for these vehicles. Of course there is. You know, this volume is probably going to translate to something like 100 some odd, 120 million something in inflows on day one, which isn't too bad. But you got to understand that Bitcoin saw $655 million of inflows for day one. And so if Ethereum is about 40 to 50% of Bitcoin, but it's only doing 20 to 25% of what the Bitcoin ETFs did on their first day, that indicates that investors, even in the beginning, and this could change, this very well could change, it's just day one, but they too are viewing Bitcoin and Ethereum as two fundamentally different assets, just as we've spoken about. And it seems like the smart money is beginning to understand that too. I'm not saying all of Wall Street is necessarily smart money. All ETF investors are smart money. But what I am indicating is that the disparity between these two assets, the fact that they're fundamentally different, is making itself apparent in the asset pricing. Eventually, markets always win. And at the end of the day, one of the things that we've preached since the beginning and one of our core theses is that price is truth. You can't discount market pricing. It is a discounting mechanism using all available information. And the market, via what we're seeing on this day one of the ETF launch for Ethereum, is pricing in the fact that these two assets are completely different, and the market is ascribing much more value to Bitcoin than it did Ethereum. If we take a look, Bitcoin ETFs have actually now taken up 4.7% of Bitcoin's total market cap. So this chart right here is the total spot Bitcoin ETF assets, or assets under management, divided by Bitcoin's total market cap. And you'll see that at launch, it has risen from 3.2% in January to 4.7%. Wall Street loves Bitcoin. And I'm not talking about Wall Street in kind of the high-minded sense that as if this is all institutions. It's not. There's a lot of retail here, a lot of people purchasing this in their brokerage accounts. But we can't discount the fact that these brand new vehicles, as I mentioned earlier, have been received tremendously, tremendously by Wall Street. And as new money continues to come in, as businesses continue doing very well, and we'll talk about credit spreads in just a second here to close out the video. As businesses continue doing well, these institutional investment houses are going to keep looking for new ways to expose themselves to higher beta vehicles. The economy impacts earnings, and earnings impact stock prices. And so long as Jerome Powell and the Fed continue navigating this cycle as well as they have been to this point, not to jinx anything, but as well as they have been to this point, then chances are that'll continue on into the future. And chances are, it's going to continue being a risk on market until further notice. And as such, people are going to continue want to get exposure. Bitcoin has done very well, in the spot ETF realm. It is number 4 and number 8 year to date for two vehicles that track the exact same thing. That's pretty good for a completely brand new asset. So Wall Street is taking to Bitcoin very well. Right now, they own about 907,000 Bitcoin. And very soon, they'll hold about 1 million Bitcoin of the 21 million supply cap, or about 5.1% of all current outstanding Bitcoin. Wall Street wants your Bitcoin. Okay, they want your Bitcoin. And while this is a very good thing for the price, it's also a word of caution that you should hold on to your Bitcoin very tightly. Caution in that, whenever there's a buyer, there's always a seller. Of course, that's how markets work. You want to have your sell price, right, astronomically above where we are now. If you recognize the situation we're in as a country, when it comes to our fiscal deficit, when it comes to the situation with our monetary policy, every single time there's a bust, we have to print and print and print and print. And if you understand that that's the case, you know that Bitcoin is not a multi-year asset, it's a multi-decade asset. And so Wall Street is here, they want your Bitcoin, they love it, But at the end of the day, your Bitcoin stands to appreciate in the face of all of that interest and in the face of what we're experiencing at the monetary level with the US dollar and also fiat currencies globally. Having these spot vehicles perform so well indicates to me and to us that throughout the summer and, you know, in the years and decades to come, Bitcoin's price is going to continue being the beneficiary of all of this. And this is a great sign. This is a very, very great sign to see how well the market has received these ETFs, both on the retail and the institutional front. And the last thing that we'll talk about to close out the video is credit. The last thing we'll talk about is IG and high yield credit spreads, investment grade and high yield credit spreads. Credit spreads are basically the difference between the prevailing market interest rate and what certain types of borrowers have to issue debt at. And you can see here that they're still at cycle lows. And so businesses, both risky and kind of surefire business models, are still borrowing at very, very low credit spreads, which indicates that we are not anywhere near a cycle top, right? If you'll take a look at this chart right here, you'll notice that anytime credit spreads begin widening, that's when equities begin selling off. It becomes harder for companies across the entire risk spectrum to borrow, and then equities begin underperforming, and other risk assets begin underperforming too, just like Bitcoin. We can stay in this range for a year plus. We have stayed at the very low, you know, this kind of the bottom of this range for a year plus. Spreads can remain tight for a very long time. And with the Fed slated to deliver its first of many rate cuts next week, chances are we'll stay at the bottom of this range for quite some time. Borrowing conditions for businesses will continue to be favorable. That means the music goes on. And when the music is playing, you have to dance. Bitcoin is up 27% over the last 2 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if we had something of a pullback, but with all of the momentum on Bitcoin's side, any further consolidation will be consolidation for an upward move, not a downward move. As risk conditions continue to be favorable, both on the credit front and the liquidity front, as Nick talked about in last video, it's really all systems go for Bitcoin and for other risk assets into the end of the year and beyond. And of course, one caveat is we don't make price predictions on this channel. Ceteris paribus, you know, all else equal, Bitcoin stands to continue doing well as the rest of the risk bucket stands to do well as well. But we're data dependent here at the Bitcoin layer. And as these things change and develop, we'll be the first to let you know. So of course, make sure you subscribe to this channel, but also check out our newsletter, thebitcoin.layer.com/subscribe, so you can be updated as this data evolves and where Bitcoin is heading. We are the only outlet that tracks Bitcoin and macro to a T. We're a Bitcoin and macro research firm. So we'd appreciate it if you followed along, if you wanna make sure that you're up to date on everything that is happening. That's all for today. Thank you so much for watching. And again, a special thank you to Unchained for sponsoring this video, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Check them out at unchained.com/TBL. That's all for today. Thank you so much for watching. And President Trump is slated to speak on Saturday at the Bitcoin conference in Nashville. That is sure to be one of the biggest developments that Bitcoin has ever had. I certainly will be watching. I encourage you all to watch as well, even if you're not political. The former and potentially next leader of the free world will be talking about Bitcoin. And so all of our ears will be tuned into what he has to say, because it's going to guide policy here in the United States for years to come, regardless of whether or not he ends up getting elected or not. So that is all for today's video. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll talk to you later. Take it easy.